Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Welcome back. So good to be with you again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation, all sorts of really wonderful things right here on the Science News Radio Network. We've got an exciting show today. In the first half hour, Russell Smith is going to stop by. Russell is Executive Director of the Texas Renewable Energy Industries Association, and they have been around for, almost 30 years now, I guess. And they're involved with America's low-carbon energy revolution, and they're presenting the Texas Renewables 2013 conference in San Antonio. It's going to be November 11th through the 13th in San Antonio at the Omni Colonnade Hotel. And he's going to tell us all about the exciting things that are going on. It is really a special event for Texas in the energy sector. And in the second half hour, we've got a fun bunch that are going to stop in and see us. Xi Chao, a student by the name of Pranau, and another professor called Tao Fon, along with Larry Xi. Now, Larry Xi, Xi Chao, and Tao Fon are all from mainland China. And Pranau is from India, and they're at the University of Houston working on this great fingerprint thing. You will not believe this. I mean, it's not optical on how people will recognize fingerprints. It is they use another method, and I was just absolutely blown away and so surprised to hear about what it was. And they're going to stop in the second half hour and tell us all about it. And also, they're making their presentation at the Homeland Security Technologies Conference that's going on in a couple of weeks in Boston, November 12th through the 14th at the Westin Hotel in Boston. You can find out more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, just go to promiseoftomorrow.biz, and you'll see a link there on the right-hand side of the screen. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of. We're going to visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's get on to today's guest.
Stand by.
Well, it's time once again for Texas Renewables. This time, Texas Renewables 2013 is going to be in San Antonio, and on the 11th through the 13th of November. And we're really lucky we have with us today Russell Smith. He's the executive director of Texas Renewable Energy Industries Association, which is producing the event. Are you in San Antonio, Russell?
No, I'm in Austin. That's just up the highway, about 80 miles from San Antonio.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And so you've decided, though, to put this on in San Antonio then instead of Austin?
Well, our conference has moved around the state for years. This is our 29th year as an organization, so we've had conferences all over the state.
Yeah, you've been at this for a long time, I think. The early 80s sometime or other is when you first got organized, it seems to me.
Yeah, it was 1984 for this organization.
Okay, so tell us now. This let's figure that somebody listening doesn't know anything about the Texas Renewables. So this is part of America's low carbon energy revolution, and explain to us why this conference is important.
Well, it's important for a number of reasons. Annually, we have an opportunity through this conference to bring together, amongst our members, as well as beyond, the business community, the governmental entities, and the utility sector, to visit about the most important issues that affect the development of renewable energy in the state of Texas. That's the major underlying purpose for it. And then, of course, all the networking opportunities that that presents to build business, to create business partnerships or alliances, and to try to help shape and influence and understand policy as it comes forward into the next legislative session. We're looking ahead to 2015.
Okay, so this is to kind of set up what you're doing with the Texas legislature to make it more attractive for renewable energy organizations. Is that it?
Well, it's certainly one of our purposes as an organization, and we are a trade association after all, and we do lobby on behalf of these industries. It is our purpose to try to create an environment in which businesses can thrive in the state, and the benefits that that will bring to the public and of course the profits and the future for the industry. So yes, that's certainly one of our main purposes.
And you'd like to move it around the state of Texas so that you can be in various different cities. I presume in the past you've been in Corpus Christi, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth. What are some of the places where you've held the conference?
Well, through the years, it's been all over. We've held it in El Paso. We've held it in Midland. We've been in Abilene. We've been in Houston, as you say, Dallas, Corpus Christi, San Antonio, Austin, and probably a couple of other places that don't immediately come to mind. It's been a few years. But next year, we're in Dallas, and the following year, we'll be back in Houston.
Now, you'll hold it about the same time every year? It's going to be November in Dallas next year?
Yes, it's always, except for a couple of changes here and there, it's almost always been early in November. And so that's pretty much how it's going to be the next couple of years, too. Those are already set. So, yes, early November.
And you've got a pretty good lineup of speakers. You've got the director of the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, I believe, going to keynote. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, he's a fairly new appointee, but seems to have gotten a lot of traction with people around the country for his knowledge and experience and in the energy field, mm-hmm. and his capabilities as a person who can communicate. From what I've heard, and I have not had the opportunity yet to hear him in person as a speaker, but for those who have, they say he is quite a speaker, quite a stirring knowledgeable speaker, and everybody's kind of excited about getting the opportunity to hear him without having to go to L.A. or Denver or Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah, I guess. And am I pronouncing his name right? Dan Arvizu? Is that how he pronounces it?
That's how I understand it.
Okay, good. And then you've got some other pretty high-profile people on the board too, the executive director of the Center for Energy Policy and Finance at Stanford University, Dan Riker.
Riker, yes, Dan Riker is a former DOE undersecretary who, once again, is one of the top people in the country, and has recently produced a lot of research and so forth as it relates to crossover opportunities and compatibilities and so forth between the natural gas industry and the renewable energy industry, understanding that, you know, they're going to be operating side by side, and so it makes a lot of sense to try to figure out how that can be done in a way that's beneficial to the renewable sector and, for that matter, for the natural gas sector.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to, and you say you're going to bring together a lot of different factions. I mean, you've got utilities, and then you probably have suppliers, people that are solving the energy problems, I guess, exhibitors and that sort of thing. Can you give us kind of a picture of what to expect if we attend?
Sure. Our industry organization includes all of the renewable sources. So we're looking at solar, wind, biomass, and geothermal, and hydrokinetic. Now, there's not a lot of hydro represented. In fact, probably none. Because, as you're probably aware, we don't have that much hydro in the state, nor that much opportunity for additional hydro. But now with the new water plan that's being proposed and so forth, and there will be new reservoirs created, who knows? There might be a possibility for that sector to add some generation. I've heard rumors to that effect. But as far as the other resources, we'll have any number of major solar companies there and also those representing the wind sector. Now, you have to understand that each of these sectors has subsectors, so there's different kinds of companies, not just the big wind generators, but also small-scale for farm and ranch. And in the solar sector, similarly, you have everything from utility scale generation types of companies down to your typical residential and small commercial installations. And on the biomass front, we're pretty much stable right now with biomass in the state. There's not a lot of potential growth ahead, it looks like, at least in the near term. There are a couple of major plants in the state generating power with biomass, and those have come online here in the last couple of years. But for right now, we probably are not going to have a lot of biomass activity in this particular meeting. That doesn't mean we're not interested in it, and that some of the same things we discussed that affect other sectors will affect what happens with biomass. That's really the case.
So this is going to be a hotbed for people doing business, putting together programs and deals, and working with suppliers and coming up with new ideas, and also giving you more impetus, I guess, to go and continue your efforts with the legislature to make Texas friendly ground for renewables. And what else do you hope to accomplish at the conference?
Well, there are some overarching issues that are being touched on in major portions of the meeting that could give you a sense of that. Renewable energy opportunities related to fossil fuels is one we've kind of touched on already. Mm-hmm. And then market opportunities and economic development in rural areas of the state. A lot of what happens with renewable energy, both large scale and small, happens in the rural areas. And it's a real economic development boon for many of the areas of the state, and has not been explored or pursued quite as aggressively, perhaps, as the urban areas have. So we want to spotlight that to some extent and say, here's another area to really focus on. And then renewable energy opportunities with the defense community is a major portion of this event. We'll have several top military folks at the conference and speaking on either panels or as individuals about just what's happening in the military in this country right now to help them transition to a more self-sustaining, self-sufficient kind of an energy policy. You're probably very aware of that the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force, and the Marines for that matter, are all instituting programs that will help them use less fuel that's finite and more infinite sources to allow them more flexibility and long-term sustainability. The ability to stand alone, even in some cases, zero energy structures and such. So that's an important part of it. And then just to look at the recent and upcoming innovative renewable energy policies and projects that we know about and have helped stimulate across the state of Texas. Those are kind of the four major areas that we'll be touching on through the 2 days of the conference.
Well, you mentioned the military, and I'm quite interested in that because there's constant fear that that our energy utilities and production facilities are vulnerable to terrorist attack. Is there going to be any sort of are you going to touch on that at all at the conference?
I'd be very surprised if that isn't mentioned more than once. That's the major driving force behind what I was mentioning before, and that is this attempt to transition into greater sustainability and independence. And the fact is that when you have diffuse or dispersed or distributed energy generation capabilities, it does make it more difficult to take out the energy production system for the forces. So they are very interested in that aspect of it for sure. Distributed renewable generation is a major part of the programs and plans that they are working on.
Yeah, Texas has been its own electrical grid forever, it seems like. There's the Eastern Grid, the Western Grid, and then there's the Texas. But I heard maybe a year or so ago they were planning to move it all over to be one place in Los Trails, New Mexico, or someplace like that. Is there still plans in work for that, or do you know anything about that?
Well, I'm aware of the Tres Amigos, I think it's called, plan, which would really simply provide a conjunction point to move energy across between the three grids that you refer to. To the extent that it is a unification mechanism, I'm not sure I would characterize it as that particularly as much as I would a way to sell and move power into new markets. But everybody has their view, I guess, of exactly what that would be. As far as how it's progressed, I really can't tell you. It's operating outside of the realm that that we deal in generally. I haven't heard a lot about it recently, to tell you the truth. We have more emphasis on what's happening within the state itself related to transmission that rises to a higher level of importance right now in the near term, and that's the Competitive Renewable Energy Zones Law, which is reaching its completion with several billion dollars worth of new transmission grid being built, primarily heading into West Texas and a couple of branches up into the Panhandle for the first time. This will open up the opportunity for a significant increase in the amount of power that can be moved from north and west to east and central areas of the state, outside of ERCOT into ERCOT. And by that I mean the Panhandle itself, being outside of the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, will be accessed for the first time in that way.
Yeah, well, you were talking about the Tres Amigos. It was been so long ago that I heard anything about it. I even forgot forgot the name, but you remember what it is, the three friends or three amigos. And this transmission, new transmission lines you're talking about, are these the standard-style transmission lines we've had for the past 150 years?
Yes, they're large transmission lines. They're standard in the sense that they move power at the same rates and in the same fashion as they always have. Now, there's some refinements in the look and the nature of the lines and so on, I'm sure, but yeah, they're standard lines.
Yeah, I thought the movement was going to be to get away from those and have each individual area be responsible for its own power generation through solar and wind and the other things like that, and that we were going to be building less transmission lines than more, but apparently that's not the case.
Well, here's the reality. The reality is what we say in the theme of our conference, and it can be interpreted many ways, but it's all of the above. Given the population increases that are going on in the state of Texas today, and I know you're probably aware of this, but there's a lot of people moving into the state, and some of the projections are for over the next 20 to 30 years, the state could double in population. And given the resources that we have to draw upon, both in energy production and in water, the issues are going to be significant. And trying to provide enough power for all of these new citizens, as well as the new businesses and industries that will be spawned, is going to require all of the renewable sources, from distributed generation to centralized power. It's going to take some of everything. And look, let's face it, the reality is that over the last several years, we've added over 12,000 megawatts of wind generation on the electric grid system. And while it's important that we do distributed, and we will continue to push for that, obviously, it takes a while when you're doing it one building at a time to get that kind of volume of generation onto the system. And there are an awful lot of companies and individual homes and so forth that are not in a good position to be able to put systems on their facilities and take advantage of it in a distributed way. So having a lot of renewable energy system, renewable energy power on the system is an important element of this as well. And it will help us increase the total volume of renewables available to everybody.
Yeah, you're talking about the population growth in Texas. There's 250,000 people moving into the Dallas-Fort Worth area alone. That's where I'm located in Dallas. So I'm well aware of the population increases. Now, is half of our electric power still generated by coal?
It's somewhere in that range. It's a little bit less and going down, actually. And natural gas is on the upswing as far as a percentage production in the state, and renewables are on the upswing.
And what about compressed natural gas refueling stations? I understand there's been a movement on the NAFTA highway to have refueling stations all along the area there, San Antonio and up through Austin and other places like that for natural gas refueling. Is there any progress on that that you can bring us up to date on?
Well, I can mention it a little bit, but the fact of the matter is that natural gas is not our arena. It's a fossil source, and we're in the renewable sector. But as we are trying to explain here, there are going to be compatibilities, and there's going to be continuation of all of these sources. So a good place for natural gas is in the transportation arena, and particularly over-the-road trucking and local fleets.
Yeah.
I think that's where the concentration should be and will be for compressed natural gas. And building the infrastructure is something that the natural gas industry desperately wants to see and needs to have in order for that to be accomplished. And turning to government for assistance in getting that done is exactly what's going on right now. There are any number of policies that are either in place or are being pursued to increase the availability of fueling stations, and it makes sense if you're going to do that to do it along the major routes. So I agree and think that you will see a significant increase in compressed natural gas being utilized in the transportation sector. After all, with as much natural gas as available out there, the natural gas industry definitely needs more and new markets and increased markets. And that's what's happening.
Well, Russell, with your hand on the pulse of the renewable energy industry, and as director there of the Texas Renewable Energy Industries Association, put on the meditation cap for just a minute. Look down the road for us, maybe 5 years or 10 years or so. Give us a prediction of the future. What do you see that lies ahead for Texas in renewable energy?
More of it.
That was the quick answer. are you gonna drill down for me a little bit? Elaborate for me a little bit on that.
Well, the reason for that statement is that people tend to deal in percentages all the time, and there's these targets and goals and everything for this percent or that percent of a resource, and that's especially been true in the renewable sector. And people look at that and say, well, gee, what is Texas Renewable Energy Industries Association's desire for a percentage, and what is the goal or the target for it? And the bottom line for us is, for many, many compelling reasons, we should have as much renewable energy as we can have and get as soon as we can get it.
All right. Well, that certainly answers the question. So that's where we're going to do. We're going to get more of it, and we're going to do everything we can to make that happen, and you're going to see to it. Russell Smith's the executive director of the Texas Renewable Energy Industries Association. He's in Austin, Texas, speaking to us by phone, and talking about the Texas Renewables 2013, which runs November 11th through the 13th in San Antonio at the Omni Colonnade. In San Antonio, Texas. So be looking for it. Go visit it. Take part of it. Say hello to Russell Smith when you're there.
Directly for the conference itself, it's www.texasrenewables.org, O-R-G, texasrenewables.org. And for the organization, it's www.treia.org. Both of those sites will be very informative for you, and if you're interested in the conference and want to go directly to that Texas Renewables conference site, that would be a wise thing to do. Everything you need is there for signing up for it and participating, and we look forward to having a lot of folks across the board in attendance to help liven up this discussion.
And Russell, thanks a bunch for being with us.
Thank you.
Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers will we meet today? Arthur M. Schlesinger, Jr., if we set out to protect young people from
dangerous ideas will produce gullible innocents, not tough-minded realists who know what they believe because they face the enemies of their beliefs.